Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Tell me, baby.
Who says two young guys can't enjoy a little throwback?
You're just spinning the ones and twos over here.
You know what I'm
here.
Saying?
If you're not getting down on the second of the year, what are you doing?
Seriously. In all honesty.
You're already breaking it down at work.
Come on. I have serious questions about how you're starting your new year. That's just me. If you're not getting down.
Oh, if you're not, I was about to say, what have I done?
That looked at me. I was like, whoa.
I don't think I've done anything wrong. I followed all the omens that my fiance told me to follow. We had pork. We didn't do laundry. We didn't clean.
So, yeah, You started to tell the story on Tuesday about where did you transport the pork from the Odyssey DC dirty ass fridge?
You're referring to my 8 pounds of meat.
Yes,
that I had in the Odyssey DC fridge on the 31st because I knew that nobody would have issues with that. The fridge in this building is very gross and disgusting, but I took it to her apartment. We didn't use all 8 pounds.
I'm sure there's some frozen.
Well, so we
somewhere.
Used some of it. I'm going to go swing by her place after work to pick it up and take it back. The process is much better. So I did not bring, you know, 5.5 pounds or whatever of pork tenderloin uncooked back to the Odyssey DC fridges. I was being very respectful. I know we got some salespeople in the office today. I know we have just more people in general in the office today. So I should be awarded the respectful medal of 2025 for not bringing my 5.5 pounds of meat back to the fridge. Just taking up the big shelf. Because the big shelf is prime real estate in the Odyssey DC
fridge. It's probably the dirtiest part of the fridge, though.
No, it's that door is the dirtiest part of the fridge.
But if you think about all the spills that have happened over the years.
There have been a lot of spills.
None of which have been properly cleaned. Stuff just evaporates. That's why the color goes away. So
correct, yes.
So I say all that to say the big shelf is not all it's cracked up to be.
I still like the big show. I bring a lot of food here more often than not. Yeah, breakfast, lunch, snacks.
I was going to say, what did you have for breakfast? That's one of the
I had a breakfast sandwich.
Look at you.
I always have a breakfast sandwich. I am the king
of
breakfast sandwiches.
When did you switch up? When did you stop going just sausage, eggs?
When I was like, this is boring. I need a carbohydrate vehicle to properly enjoy the breakfast. I'm the king of breakfast sandwiches. There is not a soul at Odyssey DC that makes a better breakfast sandwich than I.
I would have to, I would love to put that to the test.
Yeah, not a soul. The problem is it's very difficult to cook a breakfast sandwich on location here, Linnell, with a microwave. We don't have burners. We don't have nothing. I'm going to have to need somebody to bring burners in, which can
Roger,
be done.
Roger.
Are you going to ask Roger to bring burners in? Well, all right, we're getting Roger into the studio. Roger, I need you on microphone.
So we wanted to ask you a question. So Denton says he makes the best breakfast sandwich. You being one of our engineers, do you have anything that we could potentially make breakfast with? Yeah, talking to the mic.
Yeah, what are you looking for? You going to make your own sandwich?
Yeah, I need burners to cook my eggs.
Some sausage, some egg.
Yeah, the eggs is what I need,
that.
Roger. I need
he
the
likes
eggs.
That.
Want cheese on it?
What is your favorite type of cheese on a breakfast sandwich, Roger?
Probably cheddar.
Cheddar Raj. You've got a nickname for me, buddy. Cheddar Raj. Here we go. Thanks, Roger.
That is Roger the engineer who wants cheddar on his breakfast sandwich when I inevitably, I guess, make breakfast sandwiches for everyone.
I will bring, first of all, so what do you need? Because I will make that happen. Because you know I'm always down to munch in between anything.
So obviously you need a burner to cook the protein. You need a burner to cook the eggs and whatever protein, bacon.
So we need like a hot plate.
A hot plate of some kind. Here's the thing. If you like bacon, I can make some bacon. I am a maple chicken. I'm a maple chicken sausage on the breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, I agree.
You got to balance the sweet and the savory. So you get maple chicken sausage. You get eggs with a little bit of salt, pepper, and hot sauce on them. Then you get some pepper jack cheese. And if you're really on a bit of a sugar high, you can put a little bit of jam on whatever carb it is. It could be a pretzel bun, which I have done. I completely knocked the socks off of Matt Valdez a couple of months ago when I had my pretzel bun phase. It could be just a regular bagel. It could be a crescent or a croissant. It could be anything, any sort of bread.
Pretzels are a lot, is what I'll say, the pretzel bun.
I'm a big pretzel guy.
Do you mustard with your pretzel?
On a breakfast sandwich.
Not on a breakfast sandwich. Not on a breakfast sandwich. That's a federal offense.
It's a federal offense. I don't want mustard on the breakfast sandwich. It needs to be, if you want to do like maybe a Chipotle aioli, we could do something like that. You'd have to provide that. I understand my range here. I'm not making an aioli, all right? Like, if I'm making aioli for breakfast sandwiches for people in the office, I'm charging top dollar.
I was going to say something, but then I realized if I said what I was going to say, it would blow the cover of secrecy that I'm trying to keep. So I will tell you in the break. But, boy, oh, boy, I just get an insane text message. But here's the – let me just put the breakfast debate to bed here real quick. I think for me, number one, croissant is the top tier bread of breakfast sandwiches, I would say. It's the one seed, in my opinion.
It's up there.
In my rankings. You brought up pepper jack. I have to think, Bethany College was the college I went to, small town in West Virginia, happened to throw a college there. If it wasn't for Chambers, the 103-year corner store that exists in the 70-person population town of Bethany, 103 years there. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't even be hip to pepper jack cheese.
Pepper jack cheese is life-changing on
sandwiches. I told him, surprise me one day. Boy, did he surprise me.
He surprised you. Yeah, you bite into that cheese and you're like, whoa.
God damn.
Like, whoa. Literally. There's some real flavor in this
thing. Come on, man. And then you mentioned going with the maple chicken sausage. We didn't have that in Bethany. It's not fancy enough.
Well, that was something I learned at Sheetz.
Wow. Okay. Sheetz has got a sneaky breakfast sandwich, too. Well-priced.
I'm a Sheetz guy. I spent a lot of time and money at Sheetz when I was in college.
You have a Sheetz card?
No, and I have wasted so much money not having a Sheetz card.
I get so annoyed when, like, the Wawa cashier, the Sheetz cashier, asks you for the card bit because I always think I'm just never going to use it. But now that I go to Wawa every night to get their free water and cool ice, I should probably start using my Wawa card.
You should probably start using your Wawa card. If you want to tweet us at @NELL_BTP, your favorite breakfast sandwich or the way you would make a breakfast sandwich,
please
do. I do have a little bit of breaking news that relates to the football team. I say a little bit of breaking news.
Can you preface it by saying good or bad? Because now I'm scared.
Dog, it's 2024, now 2025. Every news is positive. With this franchise, we are past the day of breaking news. Like, another lawsuit. This isn't even breaking news because we knew it was going to happen. It's just now official.
Uh-huh.
Jaden Daniels has extended his record by winning his 11th Pepsi Rookie of the Week. This comes a couple hours after he was named the fourth rookie quarterback in NFL history to make the initial Pro Bowl roster. The other three, by the way, Linnell, on that list. Dan Marino, he's pretty good. Bobby Three Sticks, and Dak Prescott, also. But Dan Marino, I mean, Jaden and Dan Marino on a list together is a very good list.
Good company to keep. The list definitely loses some credibility when Robert and Dakota Rain are on there.
Maybe a little bit, but it really showcases how the rookie year bit. I think it further emphasizes that Jaden has had one of the best rookie seasons of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time.
I'm willing to go there. It's just the one thing that's like kind of been uncomfortable as a Jaden Daniels fan, but still trying to remain objective. I feel like whenever I'm willing to go that extra mile and say, he's this, some angry fan from a franchise in poverty like tweets at me and goes, "Oh, he's not that good. You had a weak schedule. This, that." This,
oh, that's my favorite bit.
The weak schedule bit?
Well, the weak schedule bit, the, "Oh, he's not that good." Look, there are critics. There are critics in this market. Yeah. There are critics sometimes right across the hall. They're going to downplay everything that Jane Daniels does. But that's just natural.
Yes.
They would see him walk on water and make fun of him for not swimming. That's how that goes.
It's a good analogy.
So, man, I don't mind people saying, "Oh, the schedule was weak." Philadelphia, the top defense, he hung 5 touchdowns on him. 3 in the fourth quarter.
He could walk on water, but they'd make fun of him
for not being able to swim. Yeah.
That's a bar.
I mean, he carried the team in Atlanta in overtime.
Yeah. Literally.
When everyone in the stadium knew he was probably going to run, he still ran, and they still could not do anything about it.
Dude, he basically turned into, like, the number one ATH in the class of 2026.
Yes.
Like, he turned into an athlete. That was him. He wasn't a quarterback. He wasn't a running back. He was an athlete. And I continue to be blown away because in camp, he did not run, dude. He didn't.
No.
He would not run. And it was almost like, is Bri even fast? Then he took off a couple of different times. It's like, oh, okay, you can kind of see him boogie. But then Tampa, he came out like, this is Mike Vick?
Yeah.
I mean, the kid can boogie, man. I mean,
he did. And against Atlanta, fitting, if you want to make the Michael Vick comparison, mm-hmm. because against Atlanta was his best game running the football since the Florida game. Which is now the infamous Florida game was it our guy Scott Abraham who asked
yeah.
at the beginning of the season, off season, what should we know about you? And Jaden said, the Florida game. And then when pushed about it, he said, go watch the Florida game.
Mic drop.
And the Florida game was one of the craziest games that I've ever seen from a quarterback in college.
Yeah.
It was utter dominance. He had done it the week prior against Georgia Southern, whatever it was, Bobcats. But doing it against Florida was insane.
Yeah. Do we respect Florida as like an SEC team right now, though?
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They were supposed to win 4 games this year, and they very much outperformed it. Billy Napier did a hell of a job this year.
And people are calling for his job. Quarterback's good, too. I like the quarterback.
DJ Lagway. Yeah. Interviewed him. He's a great guy. Love watching him play.
You caught him on XM?
I caught him on XM.
What was the best late night interview you had this year? Awesome what you get to do, by the way. Like, I'm very much respectfully jealous.
Yes, and the SiriusXM team is great, and the SIDs that give me the interviews are also great, most of them.
Hashtag connections.
Yeah, not all of them, but most of them.
Hashtag shade being thrown?
A lot of shade being thrown some of them. I'll tell you off air which
Hashtag ones. Chili in here now. Because of all the
Cold World, no blanket. Lagway was really good.
Yeah.
I've had Will Howard on before when he was at Kansas State. Ohio State doesn't give me players, but I had Will Howard on when he was at Kansas State. He was really good. No, because at least they respond.
Okay.
There are a lot of people that don't respond, and it's very annoying. A lot of the Indiana players, actually.
And a special year, too, to have them.
Yeah, a lot of the Indiana players were really, really good. LSU gave me a player once, I think.
Okay.
It was not last year, though. I would have loved to have Jaden. you're not getting the quarterback. You know, it's very rare. Like, I got Lagway. Florida giving me a quarterback is because their SIDs are great.
Yeah.
You very rarely get the quarterback.
Unless you're dead.
I mean, a specific college told me I was going to get a wide receiver that had a really great game. And then they gave me a safety with 2 tackles. I was like, I had questions for one guy. You gave me someone completely different. But you mentioned Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
There is a question on what the Commanders should do with him in particular this Sunday. But I want to raise the stakes a little bit, Linnell. There's a team in the NFC that is very frightened of Jaden Daniels, and they're proving it. And I'll share that proof with you when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. He is Linnell Willingham. I'm Denton Day. We're sitting in for Kevin. Kevin's back tomorrow. I'll answer that question. I'll prove you which team is scared of Washington when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy 2. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy 2, get 4 free when you buy 6. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Denton Day, and Linnell Willingham sitting in for Kevin. Kevin will be back tomorrow to preview the matchup with Dallas. We are going to get into a bit of a philosophy question on how the Commanders should handle the matchup with the Dallas Cowboys in a matter of moments. But Linnell, what we're seeing across the league right now, or really across the NFC, I think people are taking notice of Washington. I think a former head coach, or a current head coach that was a former offensive coordinator here, is taking notice. The Rams do not want to play the Commanders.
Respect, hashtag.
They are resting everybody this weekend. Matt Stafford not playing against Seattle.
You think that has anything to do with them being like an older team? Like Puka's always hurt. Cup's always hurt. Stafford's always hurt.
I'm sure that plays a factor, but I think they're ducking for real.
And I'm always down to I'm always down to be ducked. But I'm okay with that. You know, like I'm glad that we've earned that respect. I don't know if it's them ducking us. I wonder how much of they need to just get back in the lab and maybe they're.
Well, I've learned that sometimes just taking weeks off is not great.
It's not. The Chiefs are going to have a crazy amount of time off.
The Chiefs are going to have a long, long time off. They're going to get potentially some odd weeks.
So when you think about the way the Rams' offense is kind of functioning, I've been crafting up a conspiracy theory to counter what you said.
Should I get my tinfoil hat on?
Maybe you should. Maybe you should. Because I look at the Rams' offense over the last 3 weeks. They haven't cracked 20 points. Maybe they got to get in the lab and get the old linemen healthy so they can fire off the football better come postseason time. But to say that they're ducking us, I don't know, because I think that is of the potential matchups. That's the one I would say is
that's the one where if you're taking this from a broad perspective and you're saying we could either play the loser of the Vikings and Lions. Or the Commanders, or potentially the Packers, depending if things go really poorly this weekend for Washington. Deciding to rest everybody is essentially saying, especially because Geno Smith has the opportunity with incentives this weekend to make an extra $4 million.
Damn.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that Geno Smith is going to play really well this weekend. Yeah. He got about 4 million reasons to do so. So you're effectively saying we would rather lose this game and take on the loser of the Lions and Vikings, who in fairness to the Rams, they have played both of those teams already. They lost to the Lions at week 1, 26-20, but that defense looks significantly different. And they're one of the few teams that has beaten the Minnesota Vikings. They did it 30-20. But they're saying we would rather play them than play potentially the Commanders or the Green Bay Packers. And that, to me, feels like...
Because Sam Darnold's a joke.
Tapping out.
Not a joke, but we know he's... The other shoe drops for him in the playoffs.
But what if it's not him? What if it's Jared Goff and this Lions team who offensively are firing at all cylinders? You can go, the Rams are one of the few teams that if they are playing correctly can go score for score with the best of them. They did it with Buffalo. It's almost very baseball in the way that their season has ended. When you see a team score a bazillion runs in a baseball game, it's usually smart the next day to bet the under because it's going to kind of correct itself. Well, you score 44 points in one game, and then you score 12, 19, and 13 in the next game. That is just a little over 44 points.
So that was kind of my argument for it, though, is maybe they need to go back in the bunker, go back to the whiteboard and try to correct what's going on offensively. While the points don't look crazy, Kyron Williams has been running roughshod in these games.
Yes.
I think he's gone over like a buck 20 in all three of those games.
And the defense has been running roughshod. Now, granted, they haven't played the best offenses. Mm-hmm. He played a broken San Francisco team.
Good way to describe them.
An even more broken New York Jets team.
Yeah.
And the Kyler Cliff. People wrongfully associated the Cliff with Cliff Kingsbury. In reality, if you're looking at it just from the NFL, it's that Kyler Murray did not grow as the season progressed, and he is still 5'9".
I was about to say, as soon as you said the word grow, as soon as you said grow, I immediately started to think of mean short jokes. A random aside on Kyler, did you see the potential of like him being moved by Arizona? Wouldn't that be crazy?
I wouldn't keep him.
He
does this every
year. Where he falls off a cliff in the
every year. It is the Kyler Cliff. It was never the Cliff. Because if you looked back to college, they were putting up a ton of offense in college.
Yeah.
It's just in college, in the first portion of the season, you're playing non-conference teams.
Yeah.
When you play better teams in the Big 12, the production dips a little bit. But Kyler Murray, his biggest Achilles heel is that his Achilles heel and the rest of his lower body is short. All of his body is short.
You know what's not short? His attention span while playing Call of Duty.
His attention span while doing film is apparently short, though.
Yes. Yeah, yes, it is. Bottom line, though, in terms of like what the plan should be for this weekend for Washington, I like the mentality of going out and trying to keep the 6 seed because it presents you the more favorable matchup. I think that's the driving force behind guys playing this weekend. I know Terry's got the chance to become, you know, the all-time single-season touchdown leader. So there's that. Then Zach Ertz may have some more incentives, but I thought he collected all of that.
Yeah, I mean, he made $750,000 last week.
So I think he's clean and has collected that. But this is where I worry. I don't want anyone to get hurt, dude. But, like, I guess you can't – I'm sounding like Chris Russell. You can't play the game with that mentality. So you got to play your guys. And I think this is the type of football team that, like, momentum is a real thing for them. And I think there are a couple of issues that they need to shore up before postseason time and get some confidence in some certain areas. One of them, to me, is the traditional running game. Go punch Dallas in the mouth and run the football. Like, that will make me feel good about the postseason. And then defensively, I don't know if you want to show new looks to stop the run, but like I would love to see you go shut down the run. I don't think they got to play the whole game, Denton. You can pull them after the first half if you feel like you're blowing them out or whatever. I do like that they are suiting up, though. It concerns me, though. It's like a double-edged sword with me.
My plan is to win at all costs. If your options are win at all costs or scoreboard watch, the plan should be to win at all costs. And the reason is this. On extended periods off, they have not been exceptional in the return. They had that 10-day layover, the short mini-bye, if you will, from Philadelphia on Thursday night where the offense was not very good to that Dallas game where the offense started not very good. They got better in the second half, which is why they nearly won the game, although there was some craziness, obviously, as we all remember. But the extended time off seemed like it hurt. And then you play really well against Tennessee, get extended time off with a bye week, and you play against New Orleans and nearly blow the game.
Yeah.
So in extended periods off, they don't seem to come back executing very, very well. Now, if you get to a point where it's, we'll snowball here because I made the mistake of thinking they were going to blow out Dallas earlier in the season.
They
very much did not.
Yeah.
But if you get to a point where it's 28-6 as you enter the fourth quarter, at that point I'd feel comfortable pulling some guys, saying, all right, this game is effectively over. Dallas is not going to go crazy. If they've only scored 6 points, it means the defense is doing something very, very well. We're going to pull the offense. We're going to pull Jaden because Marcus Mariota has showed that he can still lead good drives. He did it against Carolina, not a great team, but he did it against Carolina. At the very least, he can lead one or two drives that last 4 or 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, right? So I don't mind pulling if you're up big in the final frame, but I want you to be up big in the final frame. Close this one, get win number 12, and secure your spot as the 6 seed rather than the 7 seed.
Fair. Hashtag win at all costs. I just, there's that concern that exists with me. But I'm going to have to get over it because they're playing. I just think if they are going to play, back to what I said, you know, a moment ago, try and get back on track some of the bread and butter facets of your football team that got you to 7-2, that ultimately is going to get you to 12-5 they'll be. It's kind of my thing. I look at the traditional run game. I look at finding different ways to stop the run. Now that gets tricky because you want to have – you don't want to compromise some your integrity defensively, so to speak, in terms of, like, anything new you're going to do for the postseason. I fully expect, like, a brand-new playbook for the playoffs. I fully expect, like, new defensive schemes. We've got those type of coaches that make in-game adjustments – so,
which is new.
Yeah. So, and there's some like wrinkles in plays that we've seen this year where they haven't. Like the end around thing to Jaden where B-Rob was supposed to flip it back and he didn't.
Yeah.
He's flipping it back in the wild card.
Right. I do think in the wild card we're going to see the play that they have tried twice with two different guys and not executed on, which is some sort of hand around or quick lateral to, it was Luke one play, it was Diami another play, mm-hmm. where they then send Jaden out and have everyone in the world down the field blocking for him with the intention of throwing it back and then having him go to the house.
Like a kickoff return, basically.
It's been open twice. For whatever reason, they just have not thrown it twice. Luke didn't want to throw it. Diami didn't want to throw it. My guess is that in the wild card round, you see that again. My fear is that he breaks it out against Dallas. Like the Lions did that hook and ladder on Monday Night Football.
Because they're arrogant, obnoxious.
And I was like, why would you guys not save that play? Maybe they're still going to run it against Minnesota. But I was like, why would you not save that for Minnesota in the game that's going to clinch you a division and potentially a bye?
So let me say this, though. They may not run against Minnesota once. But now that they've shown it on tape, Minnesota's got to prep for it. It's in their mind.
But they do.
So,
but I think they're now setting up for a fake hook and ladder.
Which would be something, because if you get the defense to
freeze, if you get the defense to fall for a fake hook and ladder 15 yards down the field,
yeah. It helps if they got J-Mo.
It does help if you get J-Mo.
Yeah, he's fast as hell, so makes that work. But I don't know, man. I'm happy we're in the spot. I don't know. I think I want Tampa. Like, the more and more I think about it, I think I want Tampa.
I definitely want Tampa. I've convinced you. There's too many storylines there. Like, think of how deep you can get into the storyline well. At the top of the iceberg is it's a team that you played this season. Yeah. It was a team that played Jaden at the very beginning when Jaden was not what he is now. He was very much in that first game in tuck and run mode. So you get an opportunity at redemption. The only, I guess we'll see with Dallas, but they played two teams twice. They didn't need redemption against the Giants because the Giants suck.
Yeah, but he was even much better in that second
game. The second game against the Giants was one of his best games up until that Philadelphia game.
Right.
Speaking of that Philadelphia game, he saw a team a second time. He played much better against them.
Right.
So there's that storyline. You can add the cherry on top of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tweeting the picture out last week once Washington beat Atlanta, thanking them with Baker hugging Jaden.
Uh-huh.
How hilarious would it be if they thanked Washington to then get eliminated by Washington? So that's the tip of the iceberg. You go a layer down to where you're a little bit submerged underwater with the iceberg. You ready for the hive? The Heinicke hive. The last time Washington in the playoffs, we had the legend, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, of Taylor Heinicke being born. Maybe that did a little bit more of a disservice to some of us than it did to others.
I am others.
But you had the Heinicke hive that got you all riled up.
Yeah,
it in that game, and that was a great playoff game. It was arguably the best playoff game in the NFC for that entire run because Tampa Bay destroyed everybody else. You could go deeper into,
and that's where I know where you're going.
The iceberg
that gets me going.
The last time Washington won a playoff game, it was in Tampa Bay against a Chris Sims-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was the game with Sean Taylor. He did get ejected. Marcus Washington had a great game. That got them to go play Seattle when Seattle went to the Super Bowl that year. That was one of my really, like, first seasons super-duper locked into the team. I was 10 years old, so I was super locked into the team that year. And if you want to go even crazier deeper, you could go, like, to the Todd Bowles stuff. Because Todd Bowles was a Dan Snyder selection for head coach, and then he said, I'm not working for Dan Snyder, smart guy. decides to go work for Tampa Bay instead. But you still have a lot of people in this fan base, Kevin included, that really have a lot of respect for Todd Bowles because they view him as a member of this organization's history.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of storylines there. Now, you can go storylines with whoever they play, but I think that iceberg for Tampa goes deep, and it's really the one that gets you going is the one that gets me going. The opportunity to beat them after they were the last time to kind of close that book on the playoff woes,
yes,
and step into this new future as a franchise of not going 20 years between playoff victories.
The graphic needs to be updated, by the way. Like, the last time a team's won 11 games. Last time a team's made the playoffs. We've won 11 games, and we're in the playoffs. Tired of seeing us at the bottom of that graphic. But to your point, like, the storylines write themselves. And then from a football standpoint, I think they are the better matchup. Because I think this is what it comes down to. We all know Washington's major Achilles heel they've had this year. It's been stopping the run. And I think we know how they're going to try and stop the run. It is by stacking the box, in turn compromising your defensive backs. Hopefully Marshon Lattimore is ready and available for the postseason. But in terms of if you're going to go play man-to-man coverage, would you rather play man-to-man coverage against Puka and Kupp or Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan? And I'd say the McMillan and Evans are the more favorable matchup. So, and
especially,
it'd be Marshon Lattimore. Oh,
especially
God,
if Marshon Lattimore is healthy.
Another storyline.
That's at the top of the iceberg.
Yeah.
The rekindling of one of the great NFC South, yep, rivalries with Mike Evans and Marshon Lattimore that weren't quite as nasty as Josh Norman and Odell Beckham. Remember when Beckham like torpedoed Josh, yeah, Norman when he was in Carolina?
I loved that.
But they're really close. Like, if you go, but you can find compilations on YouTube, yes, on Twitter, wherever, of Marshon Lattimore and Mike Evans beefing. And it is beef.
It's one of the few like personal battles that exists right now in the league. And maybe one of the only ones. Like,
yeah, I can't think
every time they play.
I cannot think of another personal battle.
And Marshawn's gotten the better of him at times, and he's gotten the better of Marshon. I actually think, based on what Mike Evans does against everyone else, I think Marshawn's winning the battle, like, overall, you know? But, by the way, Jaden Daniels, 20th in the NFL in rushing yards. I don't know why I just randomly said that, but I was like,
well, I'm glad you did randomly say that, because we're going to get to my news here in a second. But the 33rd team just tweeted something out. And are you familiar, do you listen to at all or ever, mm-hmm, the New Heights podcast with Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
So you're familiar with what a LeBron stat is?
Yes.
So a LeBron stat, for those who are not familiar, is a statistic that it feels like is made up because it's so in-depth, because, yeah, LeBron is breaking. Like, LeBron is the first player in NBA history to have 28 points on every February 22nd,
yeah,
for six straight years. It's like these random stats that don't really make a lot of sense, but they do make a lot of sense. Jaden Daniels is pioneering the LeBron stats in the NFL. He set like four new ones this weekend against Atlanta. He had set another one against Philadelphia. And the 33rd team just tweeted yet another LeBron, now Jaden, stat. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to have 8 touchdown passes and 200-plus rushing yards in a two-game span.
Yeah.
The guy is just continuing to come with more and more accolades that are causing PR. I mean, really, I feel for the Elias Sports Bureau and the Commanders PR, because this dude is making them work overtime every single week. They're just finding new, yeah, things and new records that he is breaking. And his records, like, I had no idea that was even something that people cared about. But here we are.
It's been fun to witness, because normally this would be like a radio topic that we were hating on the stat because it's a LeBron stat. But we could relish it, man. It's our guy. He's a life-changing. He's like, if I was like to write down the most influential people in my life right now, Jaden Daniels would be one of them.
He's on the list.
He's on the list.
He's certainly on the list. All right, when we get back, it's time for Denton's Daily News, including something that is about the Commanders. Linnell, I lied to you about 45 minutes ago. We might have a few not-so-positive stories about the Commanders. That's the focus of my news when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton A. Linnell Willingham, sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. All right, Linnell, we got a little bit of news to get into, including big win for the Wizards last night. We'll get there in a second, though. I lied to you, so I'm going to apologize.
About the news?
I told you that there was only positive news. Now, this isn't news. This is just the potential of one day news existing. Jeremy Fowler is reporting that Cliff Kingsbury is expected to interview for the Bears head coaching job. God. Now, here's what I'll say to preface this. Oh. I'm going to bring you down a notch here. Fowler said he's going to be selective with the process and evaluate his options. He also noted, and I thought this was a hilarious way of saying it, which is why I wanted to read it. Cliff Kingsbury is not exactly ironing shirts for job interviews just yet.
Sounds like a Cliff quote.
That does sound like a Cliff quote.
Right from the horse's mouth.
But also, Cliff ain't, you know, he ain't going in a wrinkled shirt.
Well, no, he's not.
No, he ain't going in a wrinkled shirt. My thing is with this, what that reads to me is that Cliff is not going to interview during the playoffs. And if Chicago wants to be hell-bent on finding somebody before the playoffs end, before Washington ends, who knows? They could get to the divisional, maybe NFC Championship game. I think the further Washington goes, the more likely that Cliff is going to stay. I would say right now that Cliff is not leaving. I don't know that he necessarily
is.
You see
the way him and Dan Quinn hugged on Saturday?
I don't think he is dying to be an NFL head coach again.
He loves where he's at.
He left Arizona and went to Thailand on a one-way ticket because things didn't exactly go well at the end there. That organization didn't exactly treat that the best. But you know what that organization is in Arizona? A lot better than the Bears. The Bears are maniacs.
I don't know. You remember when the report cards came out from the NFLPA?
I did not.
The Cardinals had an F in everything. They were literally the worst team.
You know, so did
their ownership. Their ownership's bad.
But
their
so is Chicago's. Their ownership is
worse
than
that. It may be worse than Chicago in terms of how they treat players and stuff like that was, and families of players. That report card was not kind to the Cardinals. And their GM, like they fire. If you like, go look at like
well,
the
they had some
firing
issues.
Executives some and whatnot. Arizona's a mess, but Chicago's also a mess. I'm not scared of losing Cliff to the Bears. I'm not, because I think the Bears, I think Ryan Poles is going to screw it up. First of all, the rumor, this is the real thing we should be worried about, is losing Lance Newmark, because apparently if Ben Johnson takes the Chicago job, he wants Lance to be his GM.
Yes, I did see that report.
That worries me more than losing Cliff. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the boat here. But I feel like the relationship, and this is just based on stuff I hear, and you've probably heard some of the same. Based on the relationship Jaden has with Tavita and David Blau, if Cliff leaves, I don't think we're going to be, like, screwed. I still think Jaden is the secret sauce.
Yeah, Jaden is him.
But
I would also point out, though, because there's going to be a lot of ties from Cliff to Caleb on Cliff potentially taking this job because he worked with Caleb at USC.
They're boys, too.
They're boys.
So it's like, it's deeper than just a coach-player relationship is what I'll say.
But it also feels like he and Jaden are boys.
Oh, then how can you not be boys with Jaden?
Right, so like, I think that's something that needs to be in the mind of Commanders fans who are maybe ready to throw up their arms. We're going to lose Cliff Kingsbury. Oh. He's already, like, he is in a really good spot. Sometimes it is fun to just call offensive plays.
Yes.
And to just coach Jaden Daniels. And maybe in a year or two, if he wants to explore the head coaching market, he can. But if in a year or two he's still in the market for the head coaching spot, that means something's going really well for Washington. And that there was no Cliff. Well, there was a Cliff, but there wasn't a Cliff moving forward. I still feel pretty okay. I think they're going to go for Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson is the sexy hire. I feel pretty all right with Cliff. And I think Cliff is still going to be the offensive coordinator this time next year.
I continue to believe that Ben Johnson's talent in Detroit is so rich that he's not going to be able to adjust when he's got mediocre players.
He doesn't seem like the adjusting kind of guy.
He doesn't, especially with calling hook and ladders in meaningless situations. He seems like a real jerk, doesn't he? From the way he blew us off.
And I think a lot of that is because the way that he blew us off.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's why you're like my happy medium, Denton. I was ready to dunk.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right, though. If you want to dunk. The way that he blew us off
was trifling.
Regardless of who, like, they made the right choice with Dan Quinn.
Yes,
that 100%. Is 100% factual. They made the right choice with Dan Quinn. But you can still feel a type of way about a guy canceling while the people that are coming to interview him are in the air on a flight. It's not like you hadn't thought about that earlier. There was nothing that took place while they got on the plane that said, you know what, maybe I don't want to do this. You made that decision earlier. You just told them late. That is a very small way of handling things.
Like acting,
it's childish.
That's bad and bougie, if you ask me. That's what I would consider bad and bougie behavior from a head coaching candidate. The other part of this is kind of an aside here. with the success, because now I'm starting to think like of the teams that are in the market for a head coach, what's going to be the path they want to go? And I think with the success DQ has had this year in Washington, maybe the affinity for the sexy offensive mind is not as high, and you're more so inclined to go with
the leader of men.
Because there's some great leader candidates out there that aren't necessarily offensive whiz kids. Like Mike Vrabel is gonna get a job. Pete Carroll is gonna get a job.
Yeah, apparently Pete Carroll's interested in that job.
I actually like that. I would love him there. I think he's what they need. I also don't want him to have Cliff, but like Aaron Glenn, I think he's gonna get a head coaching job based on the job he's done defensively with Detroit. When you consider the injuries they've had. He's a real leader of men. Brian Flores, I saw the funniest tweet. I'm going to tell it to you off air.
I saw that tweet.
Oh, my God.
I did not retweet it,
bro,
because I did not want to get canceled.
Oh, my God.
However, I saw the tweet that you were referring to.
Holy hell.
If you have not seen the tweet, I would encourage you to go to Twitter and type in Brian Flores, type in Caleb Williams. It'll pop up.
It will pop up.
If you need some help, you can type week 3 in there. It'll pop up.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It'll pop up, bro.
I'm glad that you've seen it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I get to tell you things during the break sometimes. Man.
But Brian Flores also has ties to Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
And I believe he might have ties to Kevin Warren. Kevin Warren is the reason that Jim Harbaugh is not in Chicago, because Kevin Warren and Jim Harbaugh do not like each other.
Yeah.
Because of the days of COVID, when Kevin Warren canceled the football season, Jim Harbaugh, football guy, squats and khakis, did not like that.
Yeah.
He did not like that one bit. So that's just something to monitor. We kind of knew that that was going to be a topic of conversation just based off of the way that the offense has played this year and based off of the way that the cliff has been dispelled, because Washington's offense is excelling, even though they are injured as all hell. Elsewhere in the news, how about your Wizards? They get a big win over Chicago, 125-107. Jordan Poole went for 30. Malcolm Brogdon scored 12 off the bench. I mentioned that because he eclipsed 7,000 career points. Guy from UVA doing big in the NBA. We'd love to see that. They get New Orleans tomorrow at 8 p.m. You'll be able to hear that on the Team 980. There was also a video rolling around, Lanello, of Karl-Anthony Towns giving Alex Saar some really high praise for the way that he played when the Knicks had the back-to-back with Washington. The home and home, rather.
Yeah, Alex Saar's balling out of control. Word to Drake in the future. It's one of those things where it reminds me, and Wizards fans, remember this next year when Dylan Harper's shooting 3-for-12 in Summer League. The Summer League doesn't matter. It's about regular season. Saar was the poster child for, like, getting dunked on this Summer League. Everyone called him a bust. People were upset. Especially when we went up against Reed Shepard, the guy that was selected directly after.
There was a degree of Wizards fans, that were in the early stages of the Johnny Davis PTSD, because Johnny Davis,
which has turned into a great story, by the way, because he's a glue guy for them right now. To me, like, minutes wise, he doesn't produce. There was a stretch of play though where they were dealing with the injuries. He defends his ass all. I think they're going to try to re-sign him at the end of the year, even though they didn't pick up the option. But to your point, yes, the Johnny Davis PTSD is real.
It is very much real. So good on the Wizards. That's win number 6 for them this year. And they got a New Orleans. They're going to be on the road in New Orleans tomorrow at 8 p.m. Caps at home today. They got Minnesota taking
big
on the
win
Wild.
For them the other night, too.
What's that?
Big win for the Caps.
Big win for the Caps. Ovi's back. He scored twice in his first two games. Once in each game, but twice in as many games to start his return. Puck drop, you'll hear it on 106.7, The Fan. Puck drop at 7, pregame at around 6:30. We talked a little bit about college football, but the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl was yesterday. Texas won a thriller, 39-31 in double overtime against Arizona State to advance to the Cotton Bowl. It was the birth of a superstar with Cam Scataboo. I knew who Cam Scataboo was.
Yeah.
There are many people, understandably, did not watch Arizona State this year. They saw Arizona State for the first time yesterday, and you want to talk about being relatable. There is nothing more relatable than puking and rallying on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Nothing more relatable. And then going and balling out. Now, when we ball out, when we puke and rally, Linnell, it's to go get a breakfast sandwich.
Right.
When he balls out, it's to go force overtime and double overtime for Arizona State against Texas. But Texas wins that one. It was a thriller. I would say it's one of the four best college football playoff games that we've seen. There was that Georgia-Oklahoma game with Baker Mayfield all those years ago, Georgia-Ohio State a couple years ago. Alabama, Georgia in the national championship. And then you got the Clemson, Alabama with Deshaun Watson and Hunter Renfro winning with like 6 seconds left, dethroning Nick Saban in the national championship a couple years ago. I'd sandwich it somewhere in there as top four, probably above Ohio State and Georgia when Ohio State missed the kick literally as the ball dropped.
Great game. Atmosphere was electric. I love the way that Arizona State stayed in it. Felt like they were going to get routed. I think they were down, 17-3 after the first quarter?
Yeah, the first half was ugly.
First half, and then, you know, forced a few turnovers, got things moving. I wanted to ask you, what you thought of Quinn yesterday? He finished strong, but other than that, was super inconsistent. And how do you underthrow? Well, he doesn't have a rocket of an arm. He underthrows his receivers so often.
The $6 million potentially quarterback did not exactly play well.
He did not, and I'm glad that you said that because I know he made three like super clutch throws at the end, obviously.
I mean, the fourth and golden was great. The final, what ended up being the game-winning touchdown was...
What did you just call it?
Fourth and golden.
That's all
he was fourth and 13.
Do you agree with Matt Miller says he's not his wide receiver one in this class?
He said Matthew Golden is wide receiver one?
I'm going to pull up the tweet. I'm going to send it to you. Matt Miller says he's wide receiver one now.
I do not agree with that. No. No. Yeah. What? No. Dude, is he serious?
Yeah, I'm about to pull up the tweet.
Is that a hot take? Did he see McMillan play in Arizona? That dude's a freak.
Matthew Golden has emerged as wide receiver one in the second half of the season. Really fun draft prospect who showed why he can play outside the hashes. Speed and concentration are major pluses.
That might be wide receiver one for Texas. That might be wider because Texas did not really have a wide receiver one in the first half of the year. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Because McMillan, Luther Burden, Travis Hunter, those are the three guys. McMillan is a guy that I would love if Washington landed, but McMillan is going to be drafted in the top 10.
Yeah.
He is an absolute, absolute freak.
All right. Is that how we're going to end the final hour here? I did want to say this about, as I'm trying to scroll and find it. By the way, completely another aside here. Malik Washington with a chance to turn himself into a five-star today. Quarterback in the Under Armour All-American game on ESPN at 4. #FreeGrandma.
#FreeGrandma. That game being played at 4 with a Sugar Bowl, not great. That was the final bit of news. Sugar Bowl postponed yesterday was supposed to be at 8:45. It's now going to be played at 4. That was due to the terror attacks in New Orleans. Obviously, that situation was terrible, but I do want to commend the people and the powers that be for making a decision quickly to move this game, and they're going to play that game at 4 p.m. today. You'll be able to hear me on SiriusXM after this game.
You're on
the post-game show.
Or are you just doing post-game?
Post-game show. Okay. Not late night, thank God. So because this game is played at 4 and not the originally scheduled 8:45, I get to go to bed before 2 a.m. So cool. I'm going to be on 7 to 9 on SiriusXM, so you'll be able to hear me do that. That's going to be Notre Dame and Georgia. This might be the fastest game, Linnell, because nobody can throw in this game. This is going to be like Army-Navy. It might be over in 2 hours and 15 minutes, the way they're running the football.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'll be real with you. I don't want to talk too much about the attacks outside of us just sending our condolences. That's got to be scary as hell, man.
Terrifying. You can't go anywhere.
You can't go anywhere, bro. Like, and that's what I really took away from it. Is like, damn, where can you go? As a Metro rider, that was long one of my fears because, like, that's a way to like mass annihilate. I don't know. It's sad though, overall.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. But again, the powers that be handled that decision as quickly as they could, at least in the after effects of it. I'm hoping. I've always been a big believer of this, Linnell. This is the last we'll say on this. Mm-hmm. I've always been a big believer that sports can be a really great avenue for healing and bringing a city together. And I know the game today is not featuring like two Louisiana-based teams, but I do hope that it brings a little bit of peace to know that yes, lives were lost, and that's terrible. But you will be able to come together with those in your community and move past it and make hopefully something better of it. Maybe it leads to real sort of change to stop something like this from happening again. So you can party on New Year's on Bourbon Street, known for partying, without the fear of something like that happening.
It's tough. But to what you said, like, shout out the first responders and the medical people that like made it, you know, less than what it could have been, but it puts me in a bad mood, honestly, even bringing it up.
It does. It's crazy. It's terrifying nonetheless. All right, we're getting back to the football team. Now that the season is just about over, Is it time to hand out a little bit of superlatives? You did it every year in high school. You might as well do it after every football season. We don't have a yearbook, but we're going to do superlatives anyway. He's Linnell Willingham. I am Denton Day. You can tweet us your superlatives for the Commanders if you have some. We'll read them on air if they're funny. At the Denton Day, at NELL_BTP. If you don't want to tweet us, you can also leave us a voice message. Go to the Odyssey app, pull up the Team 980. Right next to the play button, you see the voice message button. If you leave us a good one, we'll play it on air, especially, again, if it's funny and it's a superlative about this team for Washington. We head that direction when we get back. Don't go anywhere. The Kevin Sheehan Show continues on the Team 980.